a T shaped person has two kinds of characteristics. So if you look at the vertical stroke of the T, it determines the depth of a particular skill. So I was a technologist. So how deep are my technology skills, right? So when I say technology, it could be design, it could be coding, it could be architecture, whatever that be, how deep it is. And we obviously get very deep in our technical skills over the years. The horizontal of the T describes the breadth of, say, the general knowledge and soft skills that the person possesses. So a T-shaped is definitely a specialist in one or two fields, but a generalist with multiple soft skills. Okay. We can also call it interdisciplinary skills.
Welcome to the Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host, Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Hello, everyone. Our guest speaker today at the Learning Circle is Ms. Neeja Ganesh, a keynote speaker at prestigious conferences across the globe. She is also a TEDx speaker. Ms. Neeja has been invited by various prestigious forums to deliver talks on a variety of topics and also to conduct training programs on leadership and behaviors. Networking for Results and How to Tell Your Story are two of her signature programs. She is a mentor on a variety of platforms, including Aspire for Her and Jobs for Her. After 25 years in the information technology sector, she moved into education, consulting, and not-for-profit sector. Ms. Neeja has won multiple awards in her professional journey. Today, I invite her to share her remarkable professional journey and her valuable insights with all of us. Welcome to our channel, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Kavleen, and I'm really looking forward to this discussion.
Thank you so much, ma'am. So I would start the session with a request to you to share your professional journey so far, highlighting the key moments you had, the aha moments, and also the challenges that you faced and your shift from the corporate into the other sectors.
Sure, definitely. I am in Bangalore, and I usually joke that you can't find anybody in Bangalore who's not been part of the IT sector, right? This is the IT hub. And I have also been in the IT sector for 25 years. So I started as a programmer way back and then grew into leadership roles. I think a couple of moments that I would definitely want to talk about of my corporate career before I speak about my second innings, if I were to call that, which is not corporate. I was a very meek, timid, shy girl as I grew up, right? So I come from a very conservative South Indian family and like a typical girl, that is how I was brought up, and I hardly spoke. I was always guided to do things by my parents and family, and I just did that. And I went to work, and for the first 10 years of my career, I continued to be this meek, timid, shy girl. So I was a programmer, a developer, and hence, I really didn't need to speak in those days. I would get a spec, I would develop the code, I would do my own testing and hand it over that next to me. I was that quiet. So I think I should bring out the transformational moment in terms of how I changed from the quiet person to be a speaker. Of course, today you introduced me as a speaker on many platforms, including TEDx. But this is something that I think I would like all our audience to take away, to say that it's important to speak. I had a moment where they asked me to lead a small team. And of course, I'm talking about many years ago when leadership was not, kind of looked at as someone who can actually collaborate and problem solve, etc. Leadership was all about the most technically qualified person in the team becomes the leader. So I happened to be that in a team of 10 people who were almost as good as me, but I was a slightly more senior. So I was made the team lead. And it was at a time when the team and the organization was going through a lot of transformation. So I realized I can't just keep my mouth shut. To lead a team, you need to speak. You need to speak on behalf of the team, get them what they want. You need to engage with the stakeholders. You need to go to the senior management to, say this is not right and this is right. And I did that. Thankfully for me, the managing director of the company was a very open person, and he heard me out when I actually raised an issue in an entire group of, very, very senior professionals, and brought about some changes which not only benefited my team, but the entire organization. So that is when I realized you need to speak up. And it's okay. People may think whatever they think, but there is good that comes out of it, not only for you, but for the rest of the organization. So that was one transformational moment from this meek, timid, shy girl to one who started speaking. I think I will attribute the person and the professional that I am to this organization where I worked the longest, which is ANZ, their technology division, 16 years, which is where I kind of grew. Opportunities came by, and the second thing I would say is I grabbed every opportunity. It was not as if it's small, big, or anything like that. Anything that came my way, I said, let me do it, because there's a learning and that is an impact that you can create. So I went on to do 25 years in the corporate stint. It wasn't as if I had intentionally decided after 25 years I must pursue something else. It was just that when you are a woman and you are growing in your career, you have an entire support system because of which you're able to do what you are doing, which for me was my family, my parents, my in-laws, my husband, and even my daughter, I must say. Like, I made her very responsible at a very young age. And hence, she was able to support me. Like, she would pack dabbas for me and for herself before we left for school and my work. I would drop her and then go to office. Children need two dabbas, three dabbas, snacks, and lunch. And I needed three dabbas because I would leave very early. And in Bangalore, commute time is horrible. So I would have my breakfast, lunch, and evening snack also packed up. And their job was my daughter's. Right? So I had an entire support system because of which I was able to manage both. And that support system came crumbling down in 2017. And I realized that I need to be there to support them. And hence, I chose not to be part of the corporate and then reflected to see what would I like to do. I had always been part of diversity and inclusion initiatives in, the companies that I worked in. So I thought that's a space that I would like to tap into. And I was mentoring on some platforms like what you call Jobs for Her. Now they call themselves HerKey. And they were starting a not-for-profit foundation, and they asked me if I would head that, and I was really thrilled because that's a passion that I have to help women in their careers. So I went and headed that, and that was almost a second transformation for me because 25 years of corporate to a not-for-profit, which is almost like a startup, a very lean organization. You need to do everything yourselves. So a lot of unlearning. And a lot of relearning that I needed to do, which I did. I still remember this girl who was sitting down with me. She must have been half my age, trying to teach me social media because today is an age of social media. Today is an age of digital. So she said, this is how you do your posts. And then after a while, she said, I don't think you can do it. usually people with so many years of experience would say, how can she even say such things? And you may even not want to do these things because you've always got help in your corporate career. But I said, it's okay. That is her feedback. I must take it and let me see what's so big about social media. And today I'm sometimes called an influencer on LinkedIn because, that's how I post and I write. And I think we connected also on LinkedIn. That's how we
Yes,
got to
you
know
did.
each other.
Yes.
So the message there is that, if you really want to grow, you have to keep your mind open, accept everything and learn. I mean, learning is the key. There's never an age where you know everything. And the way the ecosystem is transforming, I think every moment you need to learn, which is what I was able to with my flexibility, adaptability, no ego, to learn from anyone, be it half my age or double my age. And that's how I've kind of transitioned into now a career which is largely looking at two aspects. One is women. How do I enable through mentoring, coaching, training, or general speaking to them speaking engagements, podcasts like this, because there is an impact when the listeners, you know, hear my story and they may change their mindsets. I really look at mindset shifts with whatever work I do, largely in the space of women and young adults, because why should somebody wait till they get into the corporate career of 10 years to realize I should have known this before? So why can't we develop that much ahead of time? So that's what I do.
Right. Thanks for sharing your remarkable journey. And you also shared a lot of lessons that you learned all on the way. So we'll come back to that in a moment. I'm now moving on the topic for today, which is the T-shaped skills. So T-shaped skills or a T-shaped person is a reference to qualities that make an employee valuable to his or her organization. So this was a term which was first used in-house at McKinsey and Company, and it was popularized by David Guest and IDEO CEO Tim Brown. So I would start, this discussion with what is, help us understand what are these skill profiles, why are they essential, what are the essential components of these skill profiles, and also how they are different from the traditional skills that we talk about all the time and that we impart to our children. So what are these skills?
Yeah. So quickly, what is a T? If you can visualize a T, so there is a horizontal and there is a vertical in the center, right? So T-shaped is a concept used to describe a person and the skills that the person possesses. So a T-shaped person has two kinds of characteristics. So if you look at the vertical stroke of the T, it determines the depth of a particular skill. So I was a technologist. So how deep are my technology skills, right? So when I say technology, it could be design, it could be coding, it could be architecture, whatever that be, how deep it is. And we obviously get very deep in our technical skills over the years. The horizontal of the T describes the breadth of, say, the general knowledge and soft skills that the person possesses. So a T-shaped is definitely a specialist in one or two fields, but a generalist with multiple soft skills. Okay. We can also call it interdisciplinary skills. So for example, and these are examples that I'm taking of real people. There is someone who's an entrepreneur. She, weaves saris, and she's also an MC. So she's got two professions. So she's an MC for events, very, very popular. She is probably 2 or 3 days in a week, MCing at events. So master of ceremonies. But she's also an entrepreneur. She has a brand, a sari brand. And she is getting into weaving. Okay, so look at how interdisciplinary it is. How about someone who's a data analyst? Okay, but she's also a public speaker and she is a trainer. So what happens is the skills that we have for one type of role, whether it's data analysis, entrepreneurship, technology, is very different to what you need for the other role, which is public speaking, training, etc. But the person is the same. So the same person comes and performs every role, which means you can't suddenly, shy away from the other skills that you have for public speaking and only be an entrepreneur or only be a data analyst. You bring yourselves in the entirety. And hence, you are enhancing, the person, the personality that you have, and the way you look at the project, the way you deliver the project. It's really different than someone who only knows one thing. Okay. So traditionally, individuals were mostly I-shaped. I even gave you a story of in my days, and I'm talking about early 2000, where people looked at only the technical skills. So if I was the most technically qualified, they made me a leader. Of course, I chose to change. I chose to learn a few things. But imagine a leader who only knows technology and is not necessarily able to collaborate, is not able to, take the team together, is not able to deal with stakeholders. The project's not going to be as successful, as one would want. So that was the traditional way of identifying the individual. Okay, how good are you in XYZ, which is, the vertical. And people also used to largely be that kind. deep expertise in one area. Over a period of time, people have realized, also because of their multiple different interests. You know, in my era, it was okay, you do one thing, two things. So maybe you are a singer along with, you know, the technology. And singing is always a passion, so you don't bring it into your career. Today, we are in actually allowing our children to be part of multiple hobbies, right? So singing is one, drawing is one, the third could be karate, and, you know, so many different. So that's the encouragement that we are giving to our children, and we must. And hence, they automatically become T-shaped. Or at least, you know, the emphasis should be for us to develop the T-shaped person. So, you know, you do understand the domain, the industry. You do understand your core, you know, job, which is design or development or teaching. But we also need to have the other communication skills, which are, say, how to influence, how to negotiate, how to solve a problem, etc.
Right. Thanks for sharing these insights. These are very useful and they help me understand that the horizontal and vertical skills are not at all contradictory. In fact, they contribute towards each other more so when we progress through the career ladder and move into leadership or managerial roles, where these soft skills have more and more importance. And also, you know, to even as a team member, these skills are very important. So thanks for
Absolutely.
Sharing that. And yeah, and you also shared that how traditionally, you know, there has been a migration from a complete focus on just the traditional thing towards a more well-rounded person who have these soft skills also, something which are there in the on the horizontal bar of the T-shaped profile that we are talking about. So now coming to, we have established the importance of these skills. Now, what are some of the strategies where an individual can build these skills, how they can, along with focusing on the technical skills, how he or she can focus on developing these skills over a period of time? And also, we'll touch upon the next part. We'll touch upon how the educational institutions can also help students, both at the K-12 level and also beyond that, to develop these skills.
Right. I will definitely, you know, answer that. Point that, you know, again, from my story, if you see, how was I able to navigate from a 25-year corporate career in tech to a not-for-profit? Because I also, in some ways, was T-shaped and I utilized those T-shaped, right? If I only looked at technology, technology was of absolutely no essence in my not-for-profit career, correct? But what is it that I brought because of which I was successful? Which was that in my technology career as a leader, I had very good stakeholder management skills. And I used that in my not-for-profit because I had to build a lot of partnerships. And that is what helped me. I was very good at managing people. And in my not-for-profit, I had to really build communities. So I was able to engage them. I was good at communication. So I was able to do my newsletters and, you know, everything else that was required to communicate. So that's how it helps. Now, how do one build, right? How do this kind of a T-shaped individual get shaped? So first of all, it's in the mind. I think we should stop telling people and people should stop thinking that my career, my aspiration is to be XYZ. So I'm only going to look at what is going to take me there. So I will do courses which are relevant to that. I will pick up a role which will take me to that. So the mind has to be very open to really absorb everything that comes your way without thinking, is this going to take me there? That's the first, you know, the mindset of an individual. So as educators, as parents, as children, I think it is important for us to first open our minds to say everything is a learning opportunity. Let's go for it. If it has come our way, let's embrace it. So there could be opportunities to volunteer. There could be opportunities to intern. In schools and colleges, there are a lot of clubs that are there, right? Can people become part of those clubs? Because when you become part of those clubs, it is nurturing and enhancing some other part of the personality and not only that deep expertise that you wish to grow into. Networks, networking is a big thing. So can we become part of various networks that exist? Can we choose to learn diverse subjects? And I think our education system is slowly changing to say, okay, fine. It's not necessarily science means you have physics, chemistry, maths, biology. Can we include, some a literary subject also? So can we choose to have very diverse subjects when we are studying? Attend as many events as you can, because while learning is, you can do it through a school or college, through an online course, I think when you go and attend an event and there are so many conferences, workshops, meetups happening, the learning that you get there from what you hear of the speakers speaking or from, engaging with 10 people over there is brilliant. You probably never get that learning even in an MBA classroom sometimes, I tell people. So attend as many events that you can. Can you pick up projects? So one is theoretical knowledge, but can we apply that somewhere? Okay. So pick up projects. If it is a school, kind of say, okay, I want to do some projects. If it is in an organization, start looking at, okay, this is my core. I've been hired to do a particular role and a particular project. Can I put up my hand and say, because there are a lot of initiatives which are always running for the betterment of the organization, for the betterment of the school, can I pick up and say, I would like to contribute to that? Because immediately the kind of skills that you will learn and you will start showcasing is going to be very different to your core. There is a concept called as gig that has come up very newly. In the good old terms, my father's time used to call it temporary staff. So you bring in someone for 2 months and then, let go because that's all the requirement was. Then we call them contractors, consultants. Today it's more, called very formally called as gig, which is a gig that you want to pick up. And there are platforms that are giving you a lot of gigs. So even if you are, of course, if you are under 18, then we need to be very clear about the labor laws to actually pick up a gig and work. But otherwise, you could be in a formal job, as long as there's no conflict of interest, we can pick up a second gig and do that. Or you are not going to get employed in any company, but you just want to be in the gig world. So you have three gigs running at the same time. Each of them is different. Doesn't have to be the same. So like me, right? So what do I do today? Of course, I do a lot of corporate trainings in the space of women leadership. Then I also write. Then I also do public speaking. Then I also, go to an NGO and then I volunteer my time. I may also be on podcasts like this. So how do you find each of these, interesting things to do? There are many, many platforms. And never say no to any opportunity. So if Kavleen came and said, yeah, sure, let's do it. It may take time, for us to decide when we can, record this. But yes, let's go for it. I'll never say no for anything that comes my way, because nothing is small or big. There is always a learning. I will learn something out of this. And there's always an impact that you can create. And it is that impact which takes you, further. So that's what I would definitely. And I always narrate stories because this is theory. Let me, if someone wants to really understand whether it works, let me narrate a story. The story of my daughter. She's 22 now. But when she was in 12th, that was the year of COVID, 2020, and her one paper was remaining before the lockdown happened. So we had no clue when the exam would get over, whether she'd finish 12th, whether she gets into college, etc. And that is when there was this platform called as Aspire for Her started. Okay, they were looking at girls in the age group of 18 to 25 to build a mindset in them where financial independence is key. And you careers are intentional and there is no option. You all have to be career women. That's what they wanted to, right? So they were looking for ambassadors who would share this message that, oh, there is this platform called Aspire for Her. All girls and boys also can, join this platform and kind of utilize all resources that it has to provide. It was a free, ambassadorship for a month. So she joined because not knowing what's happening in life, what's going to happen in life. Now, how the ambassador program ran was for every day, there were some 20 girls who were ambassadors. They were given a task. So today you go and write some posts on Instagram. Tomorrow you go and, meet 10 other people and tell them about Aspire for more. Very interesting tasks were given. Now you can choose to only do that task and say, I'm done for the day. Or you can choose to do it in a very different manner and look at, is this the right thing to do? So my daughter was of the second kind, and she actually gave feedback to the founder, who's Madhura Das Gupta Sinha, that I think we can do our social media a little differently and better, because that's the way to, communicate to the whole world today. And she's a writer. My daughter is also a writer. She writes small short stories. One has been published on Amazon also. So she said, I can do your content. There was no need for her to put up her hand and do all of this. As a, 18-year-old girl, she could spend her time looking at Netflix and, Amazon Prime through the day. Suddenly, in 12th standard, you had no time. And now you have all the time in the world. But she said, I'll do this for you. So after that 1 month of ambassadorship, she was brought into the core team and she was made a social media strategist. Now, all along, she's aspiring to be a data analyst. So there is nothing with this social media and, data analysis. But she said, I'll help out because this is something of interest and I would like to, help your organization. Now, when she, became the social media strategist, you yourselves are a lot on social media writing. And people approached her to say, hey, this is a great organization. Can we collaborate? So she started building these alliances for Aspire for her. And very quickly, she was moved from social media strategist to leading alliances for Aspire for her. And all of this was happening along with her graduation. So of course, she finished her 12th and online classes started. And at that time, there was this organization, MIQ, who is into ad tech. So they look at programmatic placing of ads on all these various social media platforms, OTT, etc., who wanted to bring in more girls into their organization. So they gave a 2 month opportunity for girls to learn about what they do. About 900 people applied. They wanted to give the learning opportunity and then eventually pick up a few people to be placed in their company. Sneha also applied. My daughter also applied because she was very interested. It is data analysis and, it's in the space of social media and ads, basically. She didn't get selected because eventually they want people who will finish graduation quickly. She was still in college, second year, and then they can probably hire them. So when the leadership came to explain about the hiring process, I mean, the selection process, she made use of that opportunity to say, I'm really very interested in this. So because of the way she presented herself, they put her into the cohort. And she topped this cohort. Now,
Wonderful.
obviously, she should have got the job, but then she was still a student. So they told her that we can't hire you now. You finish your work, you finish your graduation, and then come back to us. So she finished her graduation in June last year. At that point in time, there were no open opportunities. She went and did an internship somewhere else. And after finishing that internship, she saw there was a role. She applied for it, went through the entire interview process. But because of her exposure on Aspire for her, the various kinds of roles, because of her communication skills, the writing skills, she's also a public speaker, she trains people, and the 2 months of learning that she did, so she understands this organization, she got the job. So today she's a data analyst in MIQ, her dream company. But the many other things that enabled her were not just a college education of math, statistics, computer science. The holistic person that she developed herself, the breadth of the, horizontal in her T, which is what enabled her. So that's why I say there are many things that you will do. Volunteer, intern, pick up, projects, go to clubs, go and, maybe be on a podcast or say, I will help you, Kavleen. I'm sure you need people to edit your videos. Why not? That's also a great opportunity to learn and, build yourself as a team.
Right. Thank you for sharing all these different ways in which an individual can develop these skills. And also, you shared examples from your daughter's journey from the world of education to being a student into being a professional, and how she, went out and chose all these opportunities. So that is the key. And it all starts with, like you said, creating that sort of a mindset to be able to picked up opportunities and not just, have a very narrow vision of focusing on your own key subject or your area of interest. So broadening the mindset, it starts from there and then picking up opportunities. And I think you will agree, ma'am, that today, in today's world, it is very easy. There are so many platforms available. There are so many opportunities where we all can pick up various projects, various opportunities. This is there in the professional world, and it is also there for the students, right? It is just about being
Absolutely.
open to look out for these opportunities. And
very true.
Yeah, and I see that you are an example of having implemented these abilities and how you developed that. So was that a conscious decision to keep looking for various projects, or was there a trigger, a mentor who guided you towards this way of leading your professional journey? How did it all start? How did this openness, this mindset came? Was it developed in your educational institute at home, or some mentor along the way? Because inspiration comes in various forms.
Right.
What was your inspiration?
So I think for me, one of the things is, because I told you I was a very quiet, shy, timid girl, I used to observe. I would never speak, right? So I would observe around me. And through that observation, I think a lot of things went into my head. Okay, my learning was also from observation. And in my heart, I wanted to get into a job. I won't even say career, but I knew my parents were looking to get me married very quickly after I finished my graduation. So there was no talk of careers at home. But I wanted to, earn a little bit of my own money. I don't know why, but I wanted to. So I was in a hurry. I must say that. So what I did was, whatever came my way, I picked it up. So I was studying in NIIT while my parents were looking for a groom for me. It was an arranged marriage. I was studying in this institute called as NIIT because it was the IT boom. We were learning to become programmers. And I was still in my third semester. I enrolled for a 4-semester course. When this company Sonata came and they said, we want some, contract programmers for 3 months. And it was full-time job. Okay. So it had to be working in shifts because, again, in those days, computers were really at a premium. So if they needed 20 people, they could afford only 10 computers and they would put 2 people on the computer, working in shifts. Yes. So full-time for me, morning shift from 7 to 3. And then I had my 3rd semester to complete and a 4th semester also. And while the classes were not too long, like 2 hours every day, but, we did have computers at home to practice. So we used to hang around in the institute whenever we got a free computer because faculty was absent or the student was absent, we would be practicing. So the shift was not working out for me. One, I put up my hand and said, I'll do this contract role because I was in a hurry to start earning some money. But two, the shift was not working for me because you don't know when the free computers are available in the institute. It could be in the morning, it could be in the evening. So I went, and for this meek, timid, shy girl actually spoke to the management and said, see, I can do this job. I want to do this job. But I have a 4th semester to finish. I want to finish that also. I don't want to take a break from there. I want to pick up this opportunity. Only problem is I can't work in shifts because I don't know when my spare PC is available for me to practice in the institute. And again, they heard me. They said, we'll make an exception for you. We'll give you a dedicated computer. So you can come whenever, you can go whenever, as long as you complete the work that we are giving you. So what I'm trying to say is I was always on the lookout for opportunities because at that time I was in a hurry. But later I realized this opportunity can take me places. There were many others who took a break from studies because they felt, okay, let's do a very good job for 3 months. We have an opportunity to become permanent employees. After that, we'll go back and, finish our studies. But, once you take a break, sometimes it's very difficult to go back and do the studies. I chose to do both. It was very hard. 8 hours of job. And I'm talking about an era where, we didn't have too much money. So it was buses. We didn't have enough bus transport available. So, walk from one place to other. My institute was somewhere. Practice area was somewhere. Office was somewhere. Leave home at 6 o'clock with some dabba my mother would have packed. Come back home at night. Then again, study. Very, very difficult. But I chose to do it because opportunities were scarce and I didn't want to let go because I was scared where my father will find this groom, get me married, and then I don't know what is going to happen to me, right? So I said, let me make use of. And that is what it is. That thing that I did because opportunities were scarce became part of me. Never say no to an opportunity because you don't know what it will bring you. So today's this conversation, I don't know what it will bring to us. I want to do it because I want to impact. I want to send a message. But who knows? There'll be another opportunity that may come out because of this. Okay. I think that's what changed me. And that's why I am like this. I really believe this is one of my mantras. You know, I have a few mantras in life. I say that treat every interaction as an opportunity. So even if you're responding to someone on WhatsApp, even if you've met someone at a social event, you are in the bus, you're on a call, it is you don't know what opportunity will come because of the way you are interacting with that person. So treat every interaction as an opportunity and see how life turns out for you.
Yeah, thank you so much, ma'am, for not saying no to this opportunity and giving me an opportunity to talk to you today. So this is really wonderful, and I can see the passion with which you talk about picking up the opportunities that come along and even going out and searching for possibilities to pick up the opportunity. And also another thing is the message to speak up, you know, whenever you have a point or whenever you feel. A lot of us sometimes, you know, we face a problem and then we say that this is something that I cannot address, and we stay silenced or give up that opportunity without actually speaking up and asking for help. So that is also another key message that would help an individual to become a T-shaped one and hence add more value. So we have established, you know, the need for this kind of skill to go in depth into your technical skills and also keep picking up these additional qualities which will make you a better employee, a better manager, a better leader. So, but I'm sure that with all this coming, various projects, various kind of opportunities that one picks up, there are a lot of challenges also. And in today's time, although we have all these plethora of opportunities, there is also need for very niche specialization also coming up in every domain. So what are the challenges in becoming a T-shaped individual while retaining your skill set, even deepening your skill set in a particular area? And how to overcome these challenges? And also, as you know, as an organization, first we'll talk about an individual, and then, you know, as an organization, how can we encourage? Of course, the organization keeps opening the opportunities, but how to actually encourage people to go out of their comfort zone? One thing, you know, since I have mentioned the comfort zone, one thing is that while picking up these opportunities, one may have to get out of the comfort zone. So if you can touch upon that also, because for me, starting this podcast was completely me getting out of my comfort zone, right? Once I went out there, I have been challenges, but I have been very honored to meet people like you who have given me their insights. But taking the first step, you know, is something which is completely scary, right? So
True.
that is one challenge, you know. We are not able to open up, share our vulnerabilities, share that we may not be competent right up front. So how to overcome all these challenges?
Yeah. So I think a big part of it is also the ecosystem. The ecosystem at home is the parents and the immediate family. The ecosystem then is the school and the teachers and everybody around. And then wherever else the child goes. And then the child grows, the ecosystem grows. So while I think the child herself or himself may have that curiosity and the interest, sometimes the ecosystem, and that's probably the first challenge, the ecosystem may not, help. So as a parent, are we open? So when my daughter went on to do these 100 things on Aspire for her, one thing I would always keep telling her, I hope it is not impacting your core studies. I mean, we can't, but say that. We have to say it, right? Core studies, marks, it should not impact. It should not impact. But if we realize that yes, marks are important in today's world, but it is not only marks that the companies are looking at. It is the holistic person that they are going to evaluate. Let's realize that as parents and educators and everybody else who's supporting the child's growth and allow that. One is allow. It's okay. Give that child a little bit of time on that. Second is make ways for that to happen. How can we do it at home? Can we take the child, beyond just studies and the two hobbies that we think the child is good at? Maybe the child need not be good at a third thing, but just for the sake of it, just for the child to experience it and just enjoy that, can the child do that? Okay. So I'll give you two things here. One is my daughter herself. She's literary wise, very good. Okay. So subjects, great. In terms of speaking, in terms of writing, very good. But she's not a very good sports person. And I knew that, from the very beginning, in terms of her stamina, she's not great. So, but she would go and participate in all sports days. She would come last in the race, but she would go. Okay. And I would let her go. While I would think it's a waste, one whole day you're wasting in the sports ground, she will enjoy and come back. But when she went for other competitions, I knew she has the capability of winning a prize, and I would push her. Say, oh, do, why don't you study this also? Why don't you practice this also and all of that and get the prizes? Now, what happened eventually was in 10th standard in the school, they had a concept of student of the year kind of a thing. All right. And of course, she was good in everything. And we thought that she has a chance to get that. But she did not get it. Somebody else got it, who may not have been as good as her in academics, in the literary events, but he was also a sportsperson. And she, of course, had no marks in sports, my daughter. And it was an awakening of sorts, more for my daughter than for me. Because, as a child, she was looking forward to that title, and she did everything. But sports also she did, but she was not at the top, right? And that was a realization that you need to be holistic to be noticed anywhere. So when she went to her 11th and 12th, she herself chose to be part of everything. Okay. Like, for example, her public speaking came up from there. She was very scared of speaking on, say, stages, but she enjoyed it. But she said, I'm going to go all out and do all these debates. And she did all the debates in school. And she turned out to be very good and started becoming, inter-school and at the district level debater, which is what has helped her today in all the communication she does, whether at work, whether at college, whether as a trainer, as a public speaker, etc. So what I'm saying is what you pick up, there, oh, what is the good use of a debater? It has that communication skill helps in the way you are, speaking in the project with your stakeholders, with your team members, with your managers, because you have to influence, you have to negotiate, you have to be assertive, you have to, talk about all, sides of the coin, etc. So challenges are more from, are we enabling? Because we are always thinking, what will that get the child? It is not what I think the child wants to do, but all of this enhances the child's personality. So that's one thing. The second I want to talk about, this is again a real story. There are a lot of platforms today. Let educators and parents and everybody else Google and find out what kinds of competitions are happening across the globe. There is one which is called as Technovation. Okay. I know this because it was introduced to my daughter's school. Technovation is a platform for girls. So the word suggests, right? Technology and innovation in the space of technology. So what innovation can you as a student bring in? So find a real world problem and can you look at how to solve it with technology? So you're starting it early on at the school level. Okay, and it's a global competition. So schools across the globe will participate, and eventually you have various levels, you know, you kind of identify winners at the local level, at the country level, and then you go, you know, at the global level. Now, how do students get selected for any competitions? It's a question I ask all educators. You have, you know, your own school level competitions. Then you have to take the students to inter-school and then district and state and national. What do you select? We usually have a set of kids that we think will do well. And of course, the college also, school also wants to get a prize. So you're always sending only this set of kids, this set of five, this set of five, this set of five, and there are 30 others sitting over there. What does it do to the morale of the other 30? And how do you know that they are not good? Especially for competitions like this Technovation, where you have not run a Technovation in your school. So how are you choosing? The choice is made on, you're very good in science, you're very good, you know, in speaking, so let's send you. But Technovation as a platform or any other competition needs a variety of skills. So even in this school, they chose some five girls, they made a team. Of course, there are a lot of mentors that come from the industry. It's not only the children. There are a lot of mentors who guide these children, and then they, you know, kind of reach the global platform. And I would definitely urge schools to, you know, not just, you know, think of the favorite five, or not just think of the ones who are always topping the exams as the people for every competition. If you are really trying to put them across to a competition of this kind, can you run a local Technovation first in your school? And allow everybody to participate.
Idea. That's a wonderful idea.
Right? Yeah. When all 30 kids, if all 30 are interested, or at least 15 are interested, encourage them. You know, why can't the other five also come? Hey, you can also. It's just at the school level. Let's enjoy. Like my daughter went and, you know, ran, even if she came last. To enjoy that experience. And then you will see out of the 20, maybe the person who's not really the best at maths, but is really good at many other things which you need for Technovation. And put that person across. So this is something I would really want, you know, changing in our landscape to say, hey, not always the favorite ones, not always the one who are topping in your classes, not the ones who you know will, you know, get you a prize. Hey, yeah, prize is important. But we as an institution have to enable every child. How can we, you know, bring those opportunities? So the challenge, I think, is one is mindset, two is the people who are helping the children as parents and educators. But the challenges are also in terms of infrastructure resources that you're providing to everyone equal. And that is why, you know, at some point in time, the child will say, okay, I'm not good enough. Anyways, they will not take me. Why should I even put up my hand? You know, that kind of mindset comes in, and that might become a mindset for life for the child. May never put up their hand, you know, even in college and even in your, you know, work space. So I think that's what I would like to emphasize on.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing these. It's very true that the seeds of being a T-shaped person are set at the school level stage. And as you said, the parents have to first create a mindset of not focusing only on the marks, but letting a child do other things where she or he may not excel, but still would enjoy and pick up several nuances which will enhance their personality. So that is the message for parents, that, you know, encourage your child, let her or him do pursue different subjects, even if they are not related, not directly contributing towards the marks, because that would help develop the person. Second thing which you shared about the educational institutes also developing this sort of mindset. And therein you also talked about creating an entire ecosystem where there is work on the mindset, but also creating opportunities for people, for children who are not very extrovert, not coming up, or who may not depict these qualities. They may still come forward and participate. And, you know, the school may have certain surprises there. The non-star may also excel, and then that opens a door for him or her to get into these opportunities. So that's a message for educational institutes, that they have to have a mindset to develop these skills in all the kids, not just the star students. So thanks for sharing that, ma'am. And you know, all across our discussion, you have been sharing practical examples from your life, from your daughter's journey, about how these skills, the horizontal as well as the vertical domain, has been useful in getting more opportunities and excelling in life. So I it's very heartening to know that the challenges are there, but as you demonstrate in your journey, that it is possible to overcome these challenges by setting up a right ecosystem, starting from the mindset and moving from there. So coming on to you know, these skills in the corporate world, we have been having a lot of discussion in the corporate world also. Do you see these, the importance of both the horizontal and the vertical segments of the T gaining more and more importance as we move forward? Because right now we have a personal touch, everybody is connected with everybody else, but also, you know, we have more of a individualistic society nowadays, wherein we don't have connects with each other, the real connects, so to say. So how do you think these T-shaped curves will, what would be the form they will take in the future? Any predictions or any recommendations there going forward, that yes, communication is important, but we are moving from more face-to-face communication to online communication. The teams are scattered all over the globe. So how is this going to, that going to impact the T-shape skills?
So there is no way out. I think we need more and more T-shaped, and that's what organizations are also looking for, because, you know, these are the adaptable people. These are the more collaborative people. They have innate leadership skills. How do I solve a problem? You know, a mindset of continuous learning and growth. Today, there is no way out. We have to always be learning. Every day, can I learn something? Have I learned something? You know, all of us, you have to say, I have to say, 50-year-olds, 15-year-olds have to keep saying, what did I learn today, right? And it's only a T-shaped person who has the mindset of continuous learning and growth. Not that, okay, I'm done. I'm done for this year. You can't be like that. Because organizations need that, because the business landscape is changing. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think COVID just fast-tracked it for us. Because the kind of transformation we saw because of COVID would have anyways happened eventually, but COVID just fast-tracked it. And now, because we realize that we can really fast-track changes this way and transform it like that, every business is, you know, looking at only transformation. There's so much of competition and there is so much of collaboration that they can't just have these I-shaped. You know, I is I without the horizontals. They are just one danda line.
Yeah, just okay. Focus on the technical core subject skills.
That's it, yeah. So such a person may not necessarily be hired also. And even if such a person exists in the ecosystem, will find difficult to grow because he or she is now having a mindset of, I want to learn something else. So then the company is challenged. What shall I do with this person? Person is not wanting to grow. May have to exit the person. And the person might find very difficult to get other opportunities inside and outside. So let's, you know, become that rather than be told at some point in time that, hey, there's no space for you. Instead of getting that message at a later point in time, can we build it in ourselves? So like that girl came and told me, you can't do social media. I was open to that feedback and said, why not? What's so difficult in it? There's nothing difficult, right? You have to just put yourselves out there. What will people think of me if I write on social media? It's okay. Let them think what they want to think. I want to write something. You know, some of the mindset are, who is, there is so much content coming on social media. Who's going to read mine? And I said, forget it. There is a buyer for everything. There is a reader for everything. Okay. So you just have to put it out. You will have your, you know, what do you say, loyal audience. And somebody else will have a different loyal audience. Why are you bothered about it? It's almost like, I will do, dekhte hain kya hota hai. Definitely things are going to happen. Okay. So the future definitely demands this. You know, it is already demanded. And if we do not make a change, then the struggles will be for the individual. Okay. And hence, I think people have to start embracing it at whatever age they are. It doesn't, if you're saying that, oh, my parents didn't, you know, bring me up like this. and now I'm stuck. No, there's enough and more opportunities available even today for you to make that change. How did I change from that meek, timid, shy girl? I think I was close to 30 when I realized the need to speak. And today I'm on TEDx, right? So things can happen. Don't worry. Whatever age you are, things can happen. You need to kind of take the first step. And we are all here to help you, right? There are so many mentoring platforms available. If you really fish for guidance, go all out on these platforms, seek out your mentors, say, how do I go about do it? Opportunities are available in abundance. People need more people to help them out. You just have to put your hand out.
Right. And in this particular section, you talked about the need for adaptability. And we all have realized that COVID forced each one of us to be adaptable, to pick up skills that we may have resisted earlier. So adaptability is a non-negotiable skill going forward in the future. So thanks for sharing that. And also thanks for sharing that, you know, mentorship is available. And I think you also said that we all are available. So all audiences who are listening to this, they can approach ma'am for guidance and mentoring as and when required. And ma'am, you have already shared a lot of insights, a lot of suggestions. One final, anything specific you would like to share with the educators? You have shared all about being adaptable, learning new skills, encouraging the mindset of broadening the skills in their students. Anything else, anything very specific you would like to share with the educators?
I would say that you are big change agents. I can only talk. You can implement, right? So you are those change agents. And I would really want you to bring about even the smallest of change. And don't think that, you know, if I do, what is it going to, you know, my small saying and, you know, doing is not really going to shake the world. And hence, I will give you one more story. So we are a family of maths geeks. My mother was a maths geek. She was a topper in, you know, maths, and she did a centum in maths in her college. I'm a maths person. So I also studied maths till graduation. My daughter also, you know, kind of inherited it, I think, and very, very good in maths. So in the during school, of course, I have not really sat down with my daughter every day to see what you're doing. Again, that was an independence I gave her to say, okay, you want to study, you need to come to me for help. The way I used to test her was by setting question papers. Because as a working professional, you don't have that kind of time to sit and say, okay, homework, yeah, what is it, etc. So I would just set some question papers and then I would evaluate it and see, okay, everything she knows, this is one concept she's not understood. Let's sit down with her and figure it out. Maths, I didn't have to bother at all. She would always ace it. So in fifth standard, I again did the same. I gave her a maths paper to see whether she has perfected it. And she got zero in that. My own paper, she didn't answer a single thing.
Oh.
So I said, what happened? She said, I've not understood this concept at all. It was fractions and something, something. So I said, okay, let me sit down and explain it to her. And I explained. And then I gave the paper, a different paper again. Again, zero. So now I have explained it and still she has not understood it. So I did it again. So I had to do it two or three times. And then I asked, what is it? You know, and she said, I don't like maths.
Okay.
And so I don't want to do this. And I was shocked for a child who used to enjoy it. And here I'm sitting and, you know, teaching her four times and she's still not getting it. And she's saying, I don't like maths. Whereas I'll deal with it, but somehow I managed to get her to understand the concepts and she went and wrote the exam and she got good marks. But I started talking to other parents to say, what is happening? And they also said that the children are struggling with maths. Okay. And in fact, most of the children didn't get good marks. My daughter somehow managed it because I figured out there was a problem, but most of the other children did not get good marks in that maths paper. And every parent was saying that it is the teacher. So they had a new teacher in school. Somehow, you know, the teacher probably was not able to get across to the students. So the input that I got from my daughter was that I asked, if you're not understanding, why don't you ask the teacher? And she said, see, the teacher has very clearly told us that don't make noise. If you make noise, I will cut the house points.
Okay.
And, you know, house is a big thing in school.
Yes.
greenhouse or canary house and all the big thing in schools.
Yes.
And cutting of house points is not acceptable to the children. So they just kept quiet. They're not understanding, but they kept quiet. So I asked the other parents, "Well, can we go together to kind of, you know, convey that the children are not understanding?" Some parents said, "Okay, we'll come." The last minute on the PTM day, many parents dropped out. So we are not coming to have this discussion. That's the other problem, right? We don't like to, or we don't want to, because we think what will happen to our children in school. There was only one parent who agreed. And I met her in the school. And she said, "Nirja, this teacher who's teaching the fifth standard, is the best teacher in school." So she had another child who was in 10th standard, and this teacher used to teach 10th standard. And that 10th standard, you know, child was fantastic and used to love the teacher. And then we realized they put a 10th standard teacher to teach 5th standard. So the way you teach every class is also different, right?
Right.
And probably that's why the teacher is not able to manage a 5th standard, you know, children. So we told the class teacher this, that there seems to be a problem. And we asked the class teacher, "Look at the marks." And she also said, "Yeah, I'm also wondering why maths marks are less for many students." She said, I'll speak to the maths teacher. Because I said, "My daughter has lost interest in maths, and that's my worry. Forget the marks part of it. She may not get good marks, but you can't lose interest in a subject. Because you have to do maths at least till 10th. Today you have to do it forever, but at least just to get through 10th, right? She can't lose interest." So the class teacher spoke to the maths teacher, and the maths teacher called me, and I met her, and she said, "Why did you come to me directly?" I said, "No, I didn't know what the protocol was." She said, "You come to me directly if there's a problem, and I promise you that by end of the year, your daughter will have regained her interest in maths." Okay. And then she changed her way of teaching by engaging with these kids, allowing them to talk, experimenting, games, you know, because fifth standard is very different. You can't just be solving problems. You have to probably give them some brownie points. You have to, you know, play with them a bit and all of that. And true to her word, Sneha was back in the game. She has graduated in maths only, Sneha, okay, my daughter. So you are a change agent as an educator. You can really, you know, make miracles happen. Hence, I would, my only request to you is, every small thing counts. I, as a parent, spoke that day. I didn't have too much of support. I had only one other lady. And this teacher accepted the feedback and did something about it. The girl who had lost interest in maths today is a maths graduate. So you really can transform. It's in your hands. Please be those change agents.
Right. So that's a key message for all the educators out there. And there have been several other insights throughout the session, both for the educators as well as the students, and also for the parents. And thanks a lot, ma'am, for coming on our channel, sharing your insights, helping us understand the nuances of this T-shaped curve, what all skills are included in this, and how it has, these skills have helped you in your journey, your daughter's journey, and also a few other examples that you shared. So really grateful for all the insights that you have shared. And for our audience, thanks for listening to this discussion. I hope our discussion has been meaningful for you all, and there are takeaways which you can implement in your journey, professional journey as an educator, or personal journey as a parent. And like ma'am said, there are mentors available. Ma'am is also available. You can always get in touch with them to learn more. Like ma'am said, learning is the key. Mindset is the key. So always have this mindset to be open to learning. So thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you, ma'am.
And you summarized it so well, Kamli. 1 hour was summarized beautifully.
Yes, ma'am. But there are so many nuggets, nuances that I would encourage audience to listen to the entire session.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The thing is, take some action. You know, I know the conversation may be very interesting, but what is that one action that you will take? You don't have to do 10. One action, you know, to change your own life and everybody else's life.
Oh, yes, definitely. If I can say, that advice is the icing on the entire cake, that we talk and talk, but actually implementing is what is required. So probably I as an individual will pick up one skill which I think is a weak spot in my journey and try to consciously work towards that, learn more on that. So yes, yeah. Thanks for sharing that, ma'am. Thank you so much.